I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, the lives of black men take center stage in the new play, Resurrection. We'll tell you about it in just a few minutes. But first, with a little more than 6 weeks left until Election Day, legions of people are taking to the streets and to the computers and to the cell phones to get out the vote. Depending on who you are, undecided, first-time voter, senior citizen, union member, very soon you'll likely be getting a knock on the door or an automated phone call or an email or a text message urging you to register and get to the polls. But at the same time, there are those who are working to keep some potential voters away from the polls by matching foreclosure lists against the voter registration rules or challenging voters for various reasons. So we want to ask, what's fair game in getting people to vote or making sure that those who do vote have a right to do so? Joining us now to talk about this is Kay Coles James. She's president and founder of the Gloucester Institute. She was a Republican member of the Bipartisan Commission on Federal Election Reform. Also with us is Maria Teresa Peterson. She's the executive director for Voto Latino. It's a nonpartisan group that promotes voter education and registration. And we have Jonah Goldman. He's with the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law, and he works on election issues. I welcome you all. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Maria Teresa, I'm going to start with you. Your organization focuses primarily on getting Latinos registered to vote and getting them out. How do you do that?
Well, we focus primarily on Latino youth because we recognize that 50% of all Latino eligible voters are under the age of 40, and they're very influential in their family. So what we do is we do a myriad of tools. We use voter registration via text messaging. We do online. And recently, we just deployed, on Monday, we're going to deploy a contest among DJs in five major markets. And whoever wins will actually give them a grand prize. But it's an opportunity recognizing that these DJs in local markets are real influencers, and they're the ones that have the ear of the community, and the community really listens to them.
What's the contest? What are they? To do what? Register to people?
Or well, they're going to register to vote, and whoever gets in their vicinity, who gets the most, and I'm breaking the news today. So basically, they're going to be flown to Los Angeles, and they're going to be on set. The DJ winner is going to be on set to film the last Get Out the Vote episode for Voto Latino.
Okay.
For a public service announcement.
Okay. There's a big carrot there. Jonah Goldman, your coalition focuses on voter protection. What does that mean? What do you do?
Thank you so much for having me, Michelle. Well, voter protection has become sort of part of the fabric of elections since the 2000 debacle in Florida. Some of you, the listeners, will remember that there was some problems with some ballots down in Palm Beach, and there was some problems with some voter registration lists throughout Florida. And basically after that, what happened was the sort of election protection movement was born in 2001. A group of civil rights organizations came together and are providing comprehensive voter protection services and voter education and voter information in a nonpartisan way for any voter in the country. In fact, today also is a big day for us. We're launching 866 Our Vote. That's 866-O-U-R-V-O-T-E.org. And the number that goes along with it, which is 1-866 Our Vote. And both of those places, voters can get comprehensive information about where to vote, how to vote, registration rules. If there are problems voting, they can be connected to a legal field program that goes on in about 30 different targeted communities across the country. It really is the largest voter protection coalition in the history of the country.
But your working assumption there is that the big issue, if to the degree there is an issue, is people who want to vote and are eligible to vote being denied the right to vote. How widespread a problem do you think that is?
Well,
or is this
think,
more protect, you know, trust but verify?
Well, I think that there's an element of both. First of all, voters need to have a support system, and we're here to do that. Even if it's just where do I vote or what time the polls are open, we can answer those questions. And those are, in fact, the majority of the types of calls and inquiries that we get. But there is a real problem. There is a real problem both with the system not being able to handle the weight of this historic and incredibly heartening election season that we're seeing this year. And then there's also a problem with intentional attempts to remove eligible voters from the process. I think that the how big the problem is was first illustrated in 2000 by Caltech and MIT when they did a study and they found between 4 and 6 million voters are disenfranchised by by election administration problems, and about 1 to 3 million of those voters are disenfranchised through what is really an arcane voter registration system. But what we're doing is we're providing voters with a support system. So what they can do is they can either go to 866rvote.org or give a call to 1-866-RVOTE, and again, we can provide them with comprehensive information, and we can provide them with any help they need with getting through the process.
Kate Coles, James, in 2005, you served on the Commission on Federal Election Reform. It was a bipartisan commission. As I said, it was co-chaired by Jimmy Carter and James Baker. The report that the group issued in 2005 said that there was a lot of skepticism about the integrity of the electoral system. Do people on both sides of the aisle feel that way, or is there more one side or the other? And what's your take on whether these concerns are well-founded?
Well, you know, indeed, whenever there's a close election and you lose by only a few votes, you are going to question the integrity of the process, as well you should. But, you know, Michelle, I want to step back for a minute and just say that all of us, everyone on this call who loves democracy, could not be more excited about two candidates right now. First of all, about Obama and what he has done to energize and the inspiration, and also Sarah Palin. Believe it or not, I mean, I truly believe that both of them are bringing and energizing new voters and bringing them into the process. And I think that we have a responsibility to make sure that every single voter in America has access to the process, understands how it works, that there are no barriers in their way in order to participate, and we have a tremendous responsibility when it appears, when you look at the polling data every single day and you see how incredibly close it is, we have a responsibility to make sure that the process has integrity, that people can believe in it, that people feel as though when they actually get up in the morning and go out to cast that vote, that that vote counts. And so I think the integrity of the process is so very important, particularly for all of these first-time and newly energized voters.
Do you think that the concerns about, on the one hand, there are Democrats tend to be most concerned about access, Republicans tend to be most concerned about integrity. Do you think that these concerns are well-founded?
I think they both are well-founded, and we saw that on the commission. And I don't know that I would draw the distinctions quite like that. You know, I think we should all be concerned about access, and I think we should all be concerned about integrity. We want a process with integrity, but we also want a process that is open and that people in America can have faith in.
Well, maybe we should be, Kay. I understand that. I mean, I understand that. But in Michigan, for example, it's the Republican Party that's trying to use a list of foreclosed homes to block people from voting in the upcoming election. And the Democrats are saying, gee, that's mean-spirited. It's unfair. If you really want people to vote, why is that kind of your agenda? On the other hand, they'll say, gee, if you're not eligible, then vote has no meaning. So it does tend to break down along party lines, doesn't it?
Whether it tends to or not, I guess I would use my short time this morning to say that it shouldn't break down that way. And if I had a message to give, it would be that we should all be concerned about access and we should all be concerned about integrity.
Okay. Maria Teresa, what are the biggest challenges as a sort of person who's out in the field and doing the grassroots work of getting folks to vote? With the people you work with most closely, what is the biggest challenge to getting these voters to the polls? They clearly are interested.
Right. I think there's a couple of things. One is we're depending on where in the lifeline they are. If it's the very first time that they're voting, a lot of folks are there's a lot of education that needs to be done as far as, you know, you did cast your vote during the primary, but the primary is not your vote for the president, which is what we're finding among a lot of first time voters. That and then when folks get to the polls themselves, and I know that Jonah can pipe in, is that there a lot of folks they don't know their rights. So it really does differ state by state. But for example, Arizona has some of the most stringent voter protection law saying that you have to prove citizenship if you even want to register to vote, let alone if you actually want to go to the polls, then you have to actually have a valid ID.
What's wrong with that? I mean, the fact is you do have to be a citizen to vote, so
right,
why shouldn't you have to prove it?
Well, I think it's very difficult. I mean, you would have to, I mean, if you think about the vast majority of Americans, 90% of Americans don't have a passport, right? So, I mean, how are you going to
have a birth certificate?
Yes, but then you have naturalized citizenships, and then you have – I mean, there's a lot of laws. I mean, especially – and what happens with a lot of the – and this is a perfect example. What happens a lot of times, too, is if you aren't able to demonstrate that you are an eligible voter, for example, you have to demonstrate that you have, you know, a valid driver's license, or you have to have – you have to demonstrate that you have a utility bill that, that matches your address. Oftentimes what happens, though, is that if you – let's say you're an elderly – you're someone that's an elderly person and you don't have a valid driver's license, but you've been living in Arizona for years, all of a sudden you're disenfranchised because you can't prove that you have your citizenship papers, and maybe you were born in the turn of the century where you couldn't document that. And those are very serious issues when it comes to enfranchising folks.
Jenna, what about you? What are the challenges that you see in getting people registered and to vote?
I think that there are actually a sort of a couple different categories of challenges, and I think that we've highlighted some of them, sort of touched on the edges already this morning. I think one of them is that there are some structural obstacles to voters. The voter registration system is arcane, and it's it doesn't actually really respond well to enormous turnout and enormous excitement like we have in this election season. For instance, young voters are used to a kind of life on demand. Everything can be done with a click of the mouse in 2 seconds. And when you tell them that they need to register 30 days before the election in order to actually participate, it's sometimes something that they, first of all, don't get energized until the last until within that deadline, which of course we're seeing less of now because we have this sort of constant election cycle. But then the other thing is
that... Okay, but I'm sorry, again, not to be mean, but these are kids who will line up, you know, 6 weeks in advance for a new pair of sneakers and get on a line for that. So what's so terrible about asking people to remember to register 30 days before exercising their franchise as citizens?
Well, we don't need to. And I think that you don't have a right to buy sneakers, but you do have a right to vote. And it's, in fact, the Supreme Court has said it's the most fundamental right of all of our rights because it preserves everything else. And I think that certainly with the excitement we see this year, we should be encouraging that. And we should encourage that not only through all of the great work that all of us on the show today are doing and millions of others across the country, but also through honoring them with making the system that's already great even better.
Okay.
And the way that we do that is by removing some of these structural barriers. But then the other thing is that there have been some attempts to actually impose additional barriers. And one of them is these proof of citizenship laws and voter identification laws. Not everybody has a birth certificate, and I don't have any idea where mine is, and a lot of people don't. And it shouldn't be something where you have to be digging through, you know, years of papers to be able to find it. And for those people who don't have it, there's a significant cost to be able to get some of those documents.
But some might argue it the other way, that if it's important enough to exercise your franchise, why isn't it important enough to write a letter to the state where you were born to get a copy of your birth certificate? If it's something precious, you'll make the effort. I think there's that argument.
Sure. There is that argument, and I think that many of the people who are disenfranchised by voter identification and proof of citizenship laws would say to you that, first of all, it's not just writing a letter. It's writing a letter, and it's also paying some money, and then it's also getting underlying documentation.
Mm-hmm.
It's also things like having to take 3 or 4 buses to get to the Department of Motor Vehicles when there's no Department of Motor Vehicles anywhere near your where you live.
I see what you're saying. I'm sorry, John. I have to interrupt just briefly to say that if you're just joining us, we're talking with a bipartisan group of people about getting out the vote for this year's election. Our guests are Jonah Goldman, Kay Coles-James, and Maria Teresa Peterson. We want to hear from you. Are you registered? And if not, why not? Do you think your vote will be counted, or do you have other concerns about the integrity of the process that you'd like to share? To share your thoughts, you can call our comment line at 202-842-3522. That's 202-842-3522. You can also click on the Tell Me More page at npr.org. Kay Coles-James, I heard you trying to jump in here.
Yes, I just want to make the point that with the fantastic right that we have to live in this country and to vote and to experience democracy also comes responsibility. And I think it just takes a glimpse around the planet to look at various countries with their, you know, the newly formed democracies and to see the sacrifices that people are making and to understand what people do to cast a vote, standing in line for hours, the extraordinary lengths that they go through. And I think it's important for us as Americans to remember that it is an extraordinary privilege, but it requires something of us.
But what about Jonah Goldman's point? But, Kay, what about Jonah Goldman's point that that these birth records and things of that sort are not always easy to access. For example, you know, the fact that you may not have readily available public transportation to access some of these records, you have to pay money, which of course has an ugly history in this country, which is used to exclude people. What about that point?
Yeah, I think he has a very valid point, and I would not disagree with him. But whoever said that democracy and experiencing it and walking it out was an easy process? I don't think that we should put barriers in people's way. I think that we should fight vigorously to remove those. I don't think that we should allow people to use the process and inject even more barriers.
What about that? What barriers
do
you see?
I want to encourage people that it requires something. We should be encouraging people right now to make sure that they get registered to vote within time. We should be telling them to right now make sure that you've got your proper identification. We should be telling them right now, let's think through Election Day.
Who should be doing that?
Well, I think we all should. I think we should be using our organizations. I think our public figures should. And I applaud you for having programs like this to educate the American people about their responsibility to get that done. I think pastors and churches should, community leaders, and indeed community organizers, all should be. I mean, democracy is hard work, and it requires a great deal out of us as citizens, and I don't want to diminish that at all, but I could not agree more that anybody who tries to put a barrier in the way to block a constituency or a group of people from voting, we should identify it, go after it, and knock it down. It has no place in American democracy.
Maria Teresa, I want to give you a final thought. We only have about a minute left. What do you see as the most, what is the most significant thing that would get people to the polls? What's the biggest change that you would like to make? If you were in charge of this whole thing, you were queen of all.
Well, I think we should make same day voting, so you can register and you can vote on the spot. I think that would facilitate it. And there's no reason why it has to be on a Tuesday in the middle of the day where a lot of working class folks can't. Right? I mean, the biggest problem, you know, you're one of the biggest problem that we've had is that, you know, people have here in America have faced spending hours at a time waiting on the polls and then have to walk away because they actually have to go back to work. So why does it have to be Tuesday?
Okay, Jonah, final thought very quickly.
Just if voters need any information, they can either visit 866rvote.org or call 1-866-R-VOTE and get all of that information that Kay was talking about. And it was great to be here. Thanks so much.
Okay. Jonah Goldman is the director of the National Campaign for Fair Elections, and he gave you every phone number you could possibly need to reach him.
There's only one.
He joined us from our New York studios. Maria Teresa Peterson is the executive director for Voto Latino. She joined us here in our Washington studio. And Kay Coles James is the former director of the U.S. Office of Personnel Management. She was also a member of the Commission on Federal Election Reform, and she joined me on the line. Thank you so much for speaking with us, all of you.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.